Those two readings that we've had there this morning, Jeremiah and Matthew, complementing each other beautifully. I'll come to that one in a minute, Mike. Thank you. If you've looked at your newsletter this month, you will know that at the front there, the article is labelled Operating from a Place of Rest. And I share the irony in that because I finished writing that article at 2 o'clock on Thursday morning. And then 6 hours later, I was heading down the A1 to, of course, a church house in Leeds for clergy. And the opening exercise for that was find yourself a partner, stand in front of them. I'm setting a timer, 2 minutes, and for the full 2 minutes, you're going to tell that person what you did last weekend. Well, I'm stood in front of this woman, I'm saying, I can't even remember what I did yesterday, let alone last weekend. I don't stand a chance. I'll tell you what it was like this morning. And I just got talking for 2 minutes. Yeah? We all experience, don't we, times of stress and busyness in our lives. And on its own, you know, that's okay. It's okay to have those moments of busyness and stress. Actually, it can be good for us because it keeps us alert and awake and sharp. The problem can occur when those moments of stress and busyness get longer, get more frequent, get more intense, and the gaps in between them get fewer and shorter. Now, that is where problems can start to occur. I've recently finished reading a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by a guy called John Comer. I commend it to you. Sarah's busy with it, reading it through as well at the moment. I commend it to you, but again, here's the irony. That book sat on my shelf for nearly 2 years. Why? Because I felt I was just too busy to read it. That's why. But hurry and busyness, they're two separate things, actually. But hurry is important to eliminate because actually hurry is a real enemy to our spiritual lives. Hurry affects our relationship with the Lord. Hurry affects our relationship with one another. You can have a busy life without experiencing hurry. It is possible, I'm told. Look at me and I tell you, I am a work in progress. And Sarah and Steph will vouch for that heartily. Right? But it is possible to do that. And Jesus is speaking into that because he knows our capacity for becoming so busy and hurried in our lifestyle. And he came that we would have life to the full, that we could live joyfully and peacefully. But we're intended to live lives that are fruitful. And it's very difficult to be fruitful when you are hurrying everywhere. Now, Jesus spoke about it, and he used a particular imagery, and it was an imagery that the folks who were listening would readily identify, because he spoke about a yoke. Thanks, Mike. That there is a traditional yoke. And the purpose of a yoke was to connect two animals together in order that they could work as one. The purpose of a yoke was meant to help the two beasts there to walk in step with one another, to keep together, to share the burden. And here's a really interesting detail about a yoke. A traditional yoke was a bespoke piece of equipment. You did not just go into the yoke shop and say, I'll have a size 12, please. They were measured to fit the actual animal. Thanks, Mike. Here you can see one dating from actually 1866, relatively recently. But you'll notice there are different names on the sides, one Jim, one Charlie. They were measured differently for those beasts. So the skilled yoke maker would measure up the shoulders and the span, and then he would carve it so it fitted that animal perfectly. It was not ill-fitting. It was there just so it was nice and comfortable on that animal's back. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. He said, it's not ill-fitting. My yoke upon you. Look at this image, mate. He says, keep company with me. Take my yoke. Now look at those images there. It doesn't matter whether we're male or female. It doesn't matter whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we're tall or short. It doesn't matter. Look at what is happening there in those images about being yoked with Jesus. A perfect fit. Walking together. Jesus invites us to be yoked with him. And to be yoked with Jesus is to be walking in step with him. To be yoked with Jesus is not getting ahead of him, and neither is it getting behind him. To be yoked with Jesus is working in perfect step and rhythm with him. That's interesting. Isn't it? That means that a trip switch has gone off. But for those of you listening to the recording, the trip switch has just gone off and we've lost all our visuals, but I'll keep talking because that'll help. To be yoked with Jesus is not to get ahead or behind of him. To be yoked with Jesus is to share our labours, our dreams, our delights, our disappointments with him. It's working together with him. To be yoked with Jesus is to be at peace with God. To be yoked with Jesus begins with actually accepting who he is. Trusting him for who he is. Accepting him as our Lord and Saviour. Taking that step. Being at peace with God through Jesus is the first step to taking that yoke on. Here's a social truth. Every generation will make its own mistakes based on the fact that they think they can know better about the future and planning for the future. Jeremiah, in that reading that Steph gave us, was talking about and speaking the word of God about resting in God and looking and making right and appropriate decisions. If you remember, it was God saying, look, here you are at the crossroads. When you're at a crossroads, you make a decision, don't you? Left, right, forwards or back. It says, at the crossroads, look to the ancient paths. It's God himself saying, look, I know you think you know better. But actually, there is wisdom in everything that has gone before you. Look to the ancient paths. Look back to what I've already said. Look back to how people have already lived their lives having experienced me. But the words in that reading from Jeremiah, the people are saying, nah, thanks, don't want to bother. And God says, yeah, I even blasted the trumpet to make it as clear as I could for you, and you would not listen. Look to the ancient paths. The invitation from God is to look to him. The reality, though, is if we are not yoked to Jesus, we're actually yoked to something else, or to someone else. And it might be, or could it be? It could be work. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be hours. It could be relationship. Whatever it might be, a pressure for finances. If we're not yoked to Jesus, we're going to be yoked to something else. Now, the World Health Organization, recent publication, has announced that just over the last 2 years, globally, cases of anxiety, mental illness, depression, distress, brought on by pressures of modern life, has risen by over 25% in just the last 2 years. Suggests to me that when we yoke ourselves to something other than Jesus, it's not doing us an awful lot of good. God says, look to the ancient paths. You know, that problem of anxiety and stress, we see it everywhere, don't we? And it doesn't matter how old we are. There's a great rise in it in our young folk and people. We see it in the classrooms. We see it in the university halls. We see it in our workplaces. We see it out on the street. We see it in our homes, in families and friends, don't we? And to that, Jesus says, keep company with me. My yoke is easy. My yoke is light. The promise of Jesus is that he will never lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on us. His yoke is made to measure. And his invitation is to live life lightly and freely. Thanks, Mike. How can we do this? How do we go about beginning that? Also in the newsletter this week, I just drew attention to a couple of examples that have happened to me in recent days. And if I hadn't have taken on some of this advice from Jesus himself about trying to operate from a place of rest, the outcomes of those encounters would not have been as productive as they were. They would have still occurred, no doubt, but my response to them would have been very, very different if I hadn't just been in that place of rest that I was focusing on at that time. And being in a place of rest doesn't mean suddenly having a snooze every hour. It's being right with God and listening to him. So it's about taking time with him. Start the day with him is always a good thing to do. If you've never done it before, just start with a couple of minutes, and I guarantee you will start to want more of time with him. Well, what do I do in that time, Dave? Well, actually, how about just sitting still and doing nothing for a little bit? You could just simply say, come Holy Spirit, bring me your peace, and receive it. Read the scriptures. Read your Bible. Note I didn't say a Bible. Read your Bible. And if you haven't got something that you can call your Bible, please go out and get one. Feed your spirit. Read your Bible. There are so many study guides and wonderful podcasts out there to help. If you're struggling with some, come and ask, and I'll point you in the right direction. Jesus says, learn from me, and you will find rest. gather in worship together as church, worship on your own, in prayer, singing, putting some music on, whatever it is. A wonderful app that you have heard me speak about many occasions before, Lectio 365. Comes from Pete Gregg, who ran the prayer course that we were looking at a couple of years ago. Wonderful app. Start the day and end the day with someone just speaking scripture over you and enter into prayer. That's a beautiful way to do it. Feed your spirit. If we only fed our body for 1 hour once a week on a Sunday, I reckon by the time you got to Monday lunchtime, you're starting to notice. So spiritually, it's exactly the same. We cannot expect to survive the other 167 hours of the week unless we are feeding on God and resting in Him. So that whatever then crosses our path, we can deal with it appropriately and rightly. And hear me when we say, I say to you, I don't get that right. All the time, of course I don't. And there are occasions when I know I could have said something, I could have done something that would have been better. I've missed an opportunity because I've just been too rushed with what I was doing. And I've had to repent to God about that. And even pray to Him and said, right, I lost that opportunity, Lord, because I wasn't in the right place. So will you please make sure now there's somebody out there who's in a better position than I am, more obedient than I am right now, and make sure that they cross that person's path for me, will you? Because I've missed that one. And then you just pick yourself up and off you go again. But you see the importance of being resting in God, that we can live our lives fully with that joy that Jesus has for us. So my question to you this morning is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to give your spirit some rest? What are you going to do about that invitation from Jesus about resting in Him? Learn from me, and you will find rest. I'm going to take a moment now. Let's sit and consider that question. The things in your life and my life this morning where we know we have been spoken to about the Lord through His Spirit right now, but where we need to yoke again with Jesus. Many are here this morning with years of faith and trust in Jesus, and yet we still need to come daily and check. We are yoked with Him. We're not getting ahead of Him. We're not getting behind of Him. We're in step with Him. Can you see in your mind's eye now any occasions where you've tried to get ahead of the Lord, pushing something, driving something, or where you've fallen behind, forgotten about Him, had other things of more importance to spend your time with. Maybe you've never taken that step of trust in Jesus and yoked yourself to Him in trust and in faith as to who He is. Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.